It was about 12 years ago when Mrs. Gilmore and I came to the conclusion that something needed to be done. We had come under the influence of Miss Hall and Miss Slater. We were homeschooling our youngest. We had had some parlor meetings and invited Miss Hall and Miss Slater down to our parlor to teach. And I said, this is going real good. If they will, they'll be back every week and teach a course. And Miss Hall called me over to the side and said, no, indeed. We'll help you and you'll teach the course. And I was frightened to death. And what happened next, well, have to wait for a moment because I want to give the Colonel an opportunity to get on tape. Colonel, everybody else around the table has had an opportunity to share. I'd like for you to be on tape to share as well. Now, what I'd like to share with you as my closing point is what I call two pictures of hope. The difference, well, I was asked one time to define time. The best definition I could find, time is a sequence of events. No sequence of events, no time. A sequence of events requires a span of time for the events to get in line, one behind another. There's no time in a snapshot. There's no sequence of events in a snapshot. There is time in a movie because there's a sequence of events. My hand goes from here to here to here to here to here and so forth. So there's an event change. The two pictures I want to describe for you are a movie and a snapshot. The movie first. I'd like to consider God's hand in the development of civilization. He began over here in the eastern Mediterranean area. The Bible seems to indicate that it's right here in the Middle East. Civilization began to spread all over the various continents, across the land bridge and down here, down into Asia, Southeast Asia, Australia. And the concepts of civilization began to grow from a family to a group of families to a tribe to a group of tribes to a coalition of tribes to a nation and another nation and another nation and so forth. And we've been over that in the Oriental conquest form of government. And we see the development of the western chain of Christianity when God called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees westward to the shores of the Mediterranean. And then we see the rise of God's chosen people and the fall of God's chosen people and the rise of God's chosen people, the fall of God's chosen people. Very much like my own testimony. And in the rise and fall, we see the rise and fall of other civilizations as well, the Medo-Persian, the Egyptian, through here. And the concepts of government develop as trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. And also we see from Guyau how geography played a role in that trial and error, in the type of civilizations that were tried and failed and tried and grew and tried and failed. And as you back off and you look away from the details at the big picture, you see civilization and the concepts of civilization growing from the Ur of Chaldees in the eastern Mediterranean across what we find now as Turkey, into the edges of what later became Greece. And Alexander the Great, between the Old and the New Testament, rises up and comes over the known civilized world back eastward down toward India with the Greek civilization. And he takes the the Hebrews who were the chosen people of God and takes them and integrates them, and the Greek families are using Hebrew teachers for teachers of their children. And the system continues to grow, and ultimately Italy becomes Rome. And Rome adds the concept of incorporation, as we see in the nation-making series. And Rome covers the entire known civilization eastward and southward toward India and westward across the English Channel into Great Britain. In the meantime, we see the growth of the Teutonic tribes, and they came down and took over the British Isles. And then we see the conflict between the Normans and the Saxons and all of that going on. And in each one of these cases, a new link in the concepts of civilization is formed. Forged. And tried in the fire. Reforged. Retried. And we can see that chain growing westward. From the eastern Mediterranean, across Greece, across Italy, across Europe, across the British Isles. And then across the Atlantic with the Pilgrims. Into New England. Certainly there were others coming across into Virginia and into the Caribbean and as well on the West Coast. As Gallo says, the continent of North America faces east. The eastward facing continent is drawing people inward. And as we see this development in the concepts of civilization, we see origin in Asia, development in Europe, blossoming in North America. That growth, it comes out a great circle. And that great circle can be extended. On a flat map, it looks like an S, down through Southeast Asia, and then it turns northward. It goes through the Indian subcontinent, the Muslim world, and back to the Eastern Mediterranean. 500 miles to either side of that extended dotted great circle line rests 2/3 of the world population. The population back along the westward chain of Christianity and concepts of civil government, family government, church government, all through here, have been heavily influenced by the hand of God and the Spirit of God and the outpouring of God and time after time after time. I don't find, in my study of history, the equivalent outpourings on the balance of that chain. The chain yet to be forged. And it's unlike the character of my Lord for that 2/3 of the world population within 500 miles of that path to be left out. And yet, as I read the scriptures, I agree with Hal Lindsey. The end time clock is turning. There's not a lot of time left. Take this first picture and place it over here. I'll come back to it. Now I want to draw you another picture. This one's a photograph, a snapshot. No time involved in this one. This is the situation as it exists. As you know, I've been involved with one of the international Christian youth organizations, Youth with a Mission. Now they have bases in some 200 nations. A decade ago, these were the most experienced leaders, having smuggled Bibles into the Soviet bloc, having faced all of the battles that were going on a decade ago, these were among the most experienced leaders in Christendom. And the Lord led the leadership of Youth with a Mission to bring all of its experienced leaders from Europe and from Asia and from North America, bring them all into the Pacific Basin. And using the Hawaiian base as a base to fire all their evangelistic guns into this area, Southeast Asia, the Indian subcontinent. independent of Youth with a Mission and independent of the guidance that we were getting, Billy Graham's international organization, World Evangelism Crusades international organization, Operation Mobilization's international organization, all of Brother Andrew, all of the big organizations with a world vision for evangelism, all seemed, independently of one another, to be bringing their major guns into the Southwest, into the Southeast Pacific, right down in here. Now, an interesting thing that was happening, as for the first time in Christian history, your major evangelical guns are firing in here against these walls. And at the same time, the communist bloc was failing in here on the other side of the wall, and the communist bloc had come through and done something that Christendom had never been able to do, get rid of the traditional roots that were keeping in Afghanistan when we were there in 77. It was a federal death penalty to lead somebody to Christ, which is a hamper. That's a real hindrance to evangelism. And these forces were crumbling in here, which were leaving a vacuum. The communist bloc had moved in and pretty well destroyed the deepest roots of the pagan philosophies that had been holding forth there against the Christians at the same time that the guns were here firing against the wall. The wall has been crumbling. And there's been a vacuum on the other side of the wall waiting. The latest report I have was last week. There are in India today prayer meetings that are numbering into the 2,000 overnight prayer, 2,000 people in overnight prayer regularly in South India. Christians. Born again, solid, Bible believing, Bible thumping, Christ loving, blood-saved Christians. My daughter, who is 33/4 of women, is headed over to India the end of next month to teach groups of 200 at a time Christian school teachers the principal approach to education. In an area that has been dominated by Hindu and Muslim, and they're just about at each other's throats, which is going to create another gigantic vacuum. As the hand of God is guiding the major forces in Christendom to be there at the gate ready to come in, and already coming in. I have friends right now that are in Xinjiang province. That's so far in China that they're Muslim. And they're giving the same report. The walls against Christendom are crumbling internally. People are saying, what works? Now, there's your snapshot. That's how the system is. Let's take the movie and superimpose it on the snapshot. I have 2,000 years of preparation. And I have the walls crumbling, the big guns in place, and the forces pushing. On the next major piece of geography for this westward chain of Christianity, with 2/3 of the world population in its path, and the end time clock ticking, which says there's not a lot of time left. I believe those go together to say we're on the threshold of the most mind-boggling, worldwide baptism in righteousness that the humankind has ever seen. The evangelist comes home from a night out on the field, says, honey, it was a slow night. There were only 6 million saved tonight. This thing is going to be mind-boggling. Because it's a short period of time, that creates a tidal wave of salvation, a tidal wave of people turning their lives over to Christ, of people discovering the liberty of Christ, of people turning and saying, this is what I've been doing, like the pilgrims did. This is what the Bible says, and this is what we've got. We'll take what the Bible says and roll with it. And the Spirit of God outpouring and able to take these commitments and use them in ways that we can't even dream of. And I think it'll be launched from the West Coast, because this nation, God doesn't do work junk. And this nation has yet to blossom into what God had in mind. I think we're on the threshold of blossoming. And as that happens, the impact along the rest of that westward chain is going to create a tidal wave of righteousness that isn't going to stop when it gets to the west, to the shores of the Mediterranean, where it started 200 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Rather, it's going to keep going in an ever-widening path until the whole globe, the end thing, there'll be phonies, but the end thing is going to be to be a Bible-thumping pro-Christian. Every tidal wave has an ebb tide. The ebb tide's going to be pretty bad, and I think that the Bible describes it pretty well. But between now and that ebb tide, I think we're going to see one of the most exciting times in the history of man, and I'm glad to be living in it. This is a time to be optimistic. This is a time to keep pushing forward. This is a time to brush aside the disappointments and the discouragements and this sort of thing. This is a time to go forward. Ain't no shields on the back of God's armor. The fort that has the drawbridge raised, you can't charge over a drawbridge that's lifted. We aren't told to be defensive. We're told to be offensive. And I want to be one of the most offensive Christians anybody's ever seen. My friend Winky Friday says, I want to be known at the gates of hell. I think this is a good time to be living. Beth?